I'm much more comfortable. I'm just going to put it out there. I've led worship to thousands and thousands of people. That's way easier than speaking to you guys. So you can help me by just letting your face know you're enjoying it. Okay? Just let those muscles work them. Work them. It's great. But anyway, I'll start. Hey, I've been devoted to a few things in my life. I'm sure many of you guys have too, but I, at a young age, discovered the guitar. Oh, I loved it. Loved the guitar. And when I first picked up the guitar, it was like the lights came on for me. It was like being electrocuted. I couldn't put that thing down. It was amazing. I spent hours and hours on the guitar. I learned every song on the radio. Back in the days, kids, we used to have radios. Wasn't all on Spotify. That wasn't a thing. The internet wasn't a thing. Great. Computers? What are those? But we used to listen to the radio and I'd learn all these songs on the radio and I would spend hours on my guitar. I was devoted to that thing. I learned every chord I possibly could. My mum told me this week that she would find me many times asleep with my guitar on me. Oh, nursing like a little baby. And then I met Ellie. And I learned what it meant to be devoted to Ellie. We would spend every waking minute talking about nothing. We spoke on the phone for 3 or 4 hours yesterday. Let's speak on the phone for 3 or 4 hours today and learn all the things that we didn't learn yesterday. You know, when you love someone and you're devoted to them, you're happy to give them your time, you're happy to give them your money, all your money. They take all your money. And just a disclaimer for the youth, this is like when you're talking to someone, yeah? So the youth these days have this thing where if you're talking to someone, it's like you're zoned in on that person. There you go. I'm just trying to be relevant, guys. I'm just trying to be relevant. Well, I was devoted to Ellie. I would spend, I'd be always like, when are you going? And do you want to go to a cafe? This does sound really quite stalkerish when I say it out loud. But we would speak on the phone for hours on end and, you know, just silly stuff like, you know, you went to Macca's today. Oh, I love Macca's. So let's talk about Macca's for an hour. Like, what did you eat? Like, this stuff is just not that important. But the person is important. And I was always thinking of her and... nothing was too hard. If she wanted me to drop what I was doing and come hang out with her, nothing was too hard, unless I was serving the Lord. But I'm going to give you the end of this message right at the start. This is not the way salesmen do it. They don't tell you at the end. They tell you at the start. Well, the other way around. Acts 2, verse 42. My whole message today is around these three words. They devoted themselves. And it's a privilege to speak in this series, the There Is More series. How many of you are enjoying the series? It's been really great, eh? Nick and Sarah and Isaac and Anika doing so amazing. But today I want to talk about there is more in devotion. There is more. Let's be clear at the very start, though. We're to be devoted first and foremost to Jesus, not to Ellie, not to your spouse, not to your friends. You're supposed to be devoted to Jesus first and foremost. He's the reason why every single one of us are here. I said this in the first gathering. The reason we gather on a Sunday morning in this building is Jesus. Like, this is not a Tiddlywinks club. This is not the Lions Club, it's not the Rotary Club, it's not a sports club, it's the Jesus Club. And he's the reason we're all here. And at some point, he has either had a massive impact on your life or he's going to have a massive impact on your life. Whatever state you're in today, the reason every single one of us is in this room today is Jesus. And as I was preparing this week, I just took time to reflect on my life. BC, before I met Jesus. I got saved when I was five, And I remember going to Boys Brigade and learning all the stuff. But then I hit my teenage years, and my parents' faith wasn't enough for me to not make dumb choices. And I made some really stupid choices, and I gave up a lot of ground in my life to the enemy just by being an egg. Too dirty to be with the Christians and too clean to be with the sinners, stuck in no man's land in between, living a life of compromise. I'll be out partying on a Saturday night, and then I'll be at church on Sunday playing on the worship team. It's bad. And I know what it is to live that lukewarm faith where God says, it's better that I spit you out of my mouth, because you're stuck. You're stuck in between being all in and all out. And one day my father confronted me on my lifestyle, which I think was very brave of him, and said, today you're going to choose, son. You're not going to keep going to church and pretending to be a Christian. You're either going to be one, or you're going to go and roll around in the mud with your friends. And he said he was terrified. I talked to him about it a few times now. He said, I was absolutely terrified that day because I thought you'd go with the mud. I thought I'm going to lose him. But I was miserable. I was miserable. I was lost. I didn't fit in anywhere. Just living a chameleon life, compromising my own standards, which I had no standards at that day. I'd go out partying, and the next day I'd wake up wherever I was and then get on my bike and ride to church. I've led worship many times with sunglasses on because my eyes were too bloodshot. Nobody said anything to me. It was really dumb. I looked like a fool. You know when you're walking around like a fool and you've got food in your teeth, it's the people who point it out are the ones who've been the kindest to you. And my dad pointed out I had food in my teeth. He's like, hey, man, you're living the kind of life that you shouldn't be living. You're going to choose. And so that day I made a decision to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And I cut all those things off. I repented, prayed the sinner's prayer with my dad, and then I confessed all the sin that I'd been up to with him. Took about 45 minutes. It was a decent list, unfortunately. And I remember it vividly as he wept in my face, just howling, staring at me like, no, no, no. And I'm like, oh, shivers, this is pretty full on. And he said, don't stop. I can't take it twice. And I got a sense of the Father's love for me, and also that sin is costly. Like, it might be fun at the time, but it cost you some point. And so I chose to follow Jesus that day, and he sprayed me clean like a water blaster. I got a new water blaster yesterday. I'm quite obsessed with them. I sprayed my path clean. I actually felt like my life was like the path. Oh, here we go. There we go. Here's a metaphor. I was like a mossy black path. And then Jesus came and just, water blast that thing off. Let's go, somebody. But seriously, though, the lights came on and my heart softened, and I've actually sort of tasted the world in Technicolor. It was so good. All my rat bag friends left me because, you know, they thought I was too good for them now. And all my Christian friends had gone to uni, so I had no friends. And I spent a period of about 18 months, 2 years, completely alone. And it was just me and Jesus. And I'd go surfing with Jesus. I went to cafes with Jesus. When I say I had no friends, I mean I had no friends, like none at all. I remember being out on Tay Street surfing one day and just talking away to Jesus and having a few laughs. I said, hey, if a shark eats me today, will anyone know? And I remember him being like, it won't, because I'm here. So you're good. So there's a note to self. You want to be safe from sharks? Go surfing with Jesus. But spending time with him was amazing. I was on fire. Like, nothing was trouble. Even the loneliness was fine because I was with him. I was super hungry. I was super grateful. And I realized I'd been given a second chance at life. Now, today, we're going to open up this altar down the front here. It's like, it's nothing actual special. During the week, it's some wood, it's some carpet tiles. But on Sunday, it turns into a really sacred place. This same space, because it costs you to get out of your chair. Your friends, who, when you step out and you think, you know what, I'm actually going to not worry about what my friends think. I really want to devote myself to you, God. I want more. I need you, Jesus. And you get out of your line. There's a line at the end of every row, by the way. It's an invisible line. It's that the line of safety versus the line of getting out of the box. And you get out of the box and you come down the front and say, I'm actually don't care what people think. I've had many moments in my life where I've been down the front on altars. But if I was really honest, I was honest in the 9, so I might as well be honest in the 11. Yeah, that was a joke, but that's fine. I'm usually honest in both, but that's okay. I haven't been on an altar here for a very long time. Like a long time. And we went on a trip end of last year to Aussie, and we spent so much time on the altar because we just don't. And it's dumb. It's dumb. Something happens when you get out of the box. Something happens to you. And God meets you. And doesn't just respond to need. Because if all it was need, he would meet all your needs all the time. He responds to faith. And it requires you to get out of your box to experience faith. Get a little bit uncomfortable. So today, here's the disclaimer. We're going to open up this altar. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been on an altar for years, you should just give it a go today. You should get out of your box, out of your seat, and just say, God, I'm reaffirming that I'm devoted to you. Get hungry. See what he does. They devoted themselves. They took personal responsibility. In Philippians 2:12, it talks about the fact that we're all supposed to walk out our own salvation in fear and trembling. It's no one else's to walk out. When I made the decision to follow Jesus, it wasn't my dad's to walk out. It was mine to walk out. And so I did. John 13, verse 35 says, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And sometimes the way you love each other is to say, hey, you got a bit of spinach in your teeth, mate. I'm grateful to my dad. I'll be forever grateful to him that he had the guts to say something. But I want to encourage you today, if we're going to be the kind of people who are devoted to Jesus, we need to love the things he loves. And he loves people. He loves people. He loves every single person in this room and every single person not in this room. And the crazy thing is, he loves us exactly the same. I had a really close friend of mine, left his wife and 2 kids, and it was heartbreaking. It was really heartbreaking. And he was devastated. He made bad choices in his life. And we were sitting in a cafe one day, and I was begging him to come back into the house of God, begging him. And I said, you know what's crazy is that I haven't stuffed up like you have, and God loves me no more. And he loves you no less. That's a good deal for you. Feels kind of rough for me, but it's a good deal for you. I don't even know, that's not even my notes. I don't know why I say that today, but you might be here today. And God loves you exactly the same. You don't need to dance monkey dance for him and perform and pretend that you're good enough. He accepts you as you are. He loves you and he welcomes you right under his wing. Mark 12, verse 30 says, Jesus, speaking of the 2 greatest commandments, says, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater command than these. And if you love the Lord with all you've got, and you love your neighbor as yourself, we're pretty close to being how the early church was. We're going to read that story together in Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 42, the fellowship of the believers. Every time I read this, I think the fellowship of the ring, but it's not. It's the believers. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Man, that's a lot of church. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. There's so much for us to learn about being devoted in this passage. This is the early church. They've just had 3,000 people. That's a lot of people, y'all. That's a big church. But I've got three quick, easy points. I'll go through them quickly. And then I would love to open up this altar for anyone who wants to reaffirm again to Jesus, hey, I'm devoted to you today. So I'm just going to say that a few times just to give some of you a warning. It might be a bit harder than you think. If we're going to be devoted to Jesus, that means being, number one, devoted to teaching and fellowship. Coming to church, being amongst other believers, the preaching of the word. Just this word has power. Like our human words don't have power. This word has power to transform and change your life. It cuts us to the core. God transforms our inner person and renews our minds. Do you know how I see this every week when we come into worship and you come in like your week's been average, and you guys will know this because it happens most weeks. Your week's been average, you might feel a bit heavy, you might feel a bit blah, and then you leave pumped. Man, I just feel good. It's the renewing of your mind. When God's Spirit washes over this place like a wave, it washes off stuff from the week. And it fills us again to go out and bear witness of His goodness. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It just shows how useful the Bible is to forming mature Christians in us. Every Sunday, we are helping form mature Christians, equipping you for good work, encountering God, rubbing shoulders with other believers, spur one another on in good works. When we see people get baptized like Ben last week, and Ezra, I see Ezra's here too, and many others, it encourages all of our faith. When we hear stories of what God's been doing in other people's lives, it encourages us in our faith. When someone tells us they're going through a hard time and we pray for them, it encourages us in our faith and them. When someone unpacks a portion of Scripture, it helps us to understand something we've never noticed before. It encourages us in our faith. Let's be people who are devoted to the teaching of God's Word and to fellowship together. And don't come to church just to be entertained. It's a trap. It's a trap, Isaac. That's a Star Wars quote, sorry. I used to be a part of a big church in Auckland. My role at that church, I was a creative director. My job was to make church entertaining. to present. Now, that's not what was written in my job description, because that doesn't sound so good. But we need to do Easter in a way that just is more entertaining and engaging than last year. Like, it's a trap. When you come to church for anything other than Jesus and fellowship with each other and teaching of the word and prayer, it's a trap. Church is much more than entertainment. Is this good? Great. If you're going to be devoted to Jesus, that means being, number two, devoted to hospitality and open tables. Ooh. Hospitality and open tables. A couple of years ago, we decided to sell our house. It was very small, and we wanted to have a bigger home. We managed to downscale our mortgage, which is the grace and kindness of God. And we decided to buy a bigger table. Ali was saying, hey, look, we need to get a bigger table. I was like, what's wrong with our table? The table's fine. It's like our table fits six people at a jam. And we're kind of sitting on each other's laps just to sit down. So we've got a table that seats about 10 people. And we also have a space where we can push the kids outside as well, which is even better. But we actually love everyone being around the table together, eating together. And we did this because we felt like the Lord had asked us to do it. At the time, we didn't realize the importance that would have been for us. We've had many people at that table over the last 18 months. Some crying their eyes out in pain for what we've been going through. And the very next day, some excited about what God's doing. Tables are costly. They're costly places. There's nowhere to hide when you're at a table with someone. I want to make it super practical today. Some of you may need to reassess the size of your dining table. Like, if it's small and you can't host people, I want to encourage you to reconsider that. It's your call. It's your life. But practice hospitality. Jesus did so much of his teaching around a table. So much of his teaching was around food. Jesus was a foodie, just like Nick Caroya. I tell you, that guy's a foodie, eh? Whew. Jesus used meals for ministry. He dined with lots of different people, tax collectors, sinners, the righteous elite, challenging social norms and demonstrating God's love. God's everyone is welcome love. The early church adopted the practice of sharing meals as modeled by Jesus to foster community and spread the gospel. And meals with Jesus were not just social events, but also acts of radical hospitality that challenged the social structures of the time and offered a glimpse into the kingdom of God that he invites all of us into. Saints and sinners at the table together. Well, all the sinners together at the table. Probably is a better way of saying it. They're radically generous with each other. They gave out of their overflow. They even sold their possessions and gave to each other whoever had need. You know what? Something I'd love to do here, actually, is start a community pantry in the foyer. Might get a little messy, but just a place where we can bring our overflow to share with each other in a real easy way. Who's up for that? Yeah, great. Fruit and veggies, come on, let's go. So yeah, I got a question for you. Is your table actually open to others? Is it open? Would you be willing this week or in the next coming weeks to take a risk and invite someone to have a meal with you? Now, if you're over the age of 40 in this room, there are tons of young people who would love to learn and glean from you. So don't make it weird. Hey, you're coming to my house for dinner. But like they do, they're hungry to learn. And what we all need is to be mentored by someone who's further down the track. Hey, how do I get through this period of my life? What have you learned? What do you know? If you are like Bruce and Ann Hilda, you guys are a gift, man. Still going after all these years, still hanging in there. You've got so much gold in you, and we're so grateful for you. So much wisdom. I feel like every time you open your mouths, wisdom pours out, and I feel like I can make it through another day. So we honor you. We honor you guys. Thank you. But yeah, sure. And if you're going to be devoted to Jesus, that means being devoted to prayer. I was just talking to Jesus. Oh, goodness. Hello. Pray. Talk to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. What Paul's saying in this passage is not literal, but relational. It's more accurately understood as a call to cultivate a continuous, conscious connection with God. Have you ever pocket-dialed someone and then they just left the call going and listened in on everything you said? That's happened a few times to me. It can be bad. It's usually only bad if you're talking bad. Ooh, shots fired. If you're speaking life and joy and hope, you're all good. I would like you to consider opening a permanent call and pocket dialing God and talking to Him every day, all the time, about everything. Why not? Yes, have regular set times of prayer as well, intense times, but God wants a relationship with you. Jesus wants to walk with you in your day to day, in your tough stuff, in your good stuff. Otherwise, it's just religion. And God didn't send Jesus to start another religion. He sent His Son to restore relationship with Him and with Jesus. I don't know where I'd be if I couldn't talk to Jesus about the stuff in my life. I remember the time when we found out Noah had a big hole in his heart and had open heart surgery. And I tell you what, man, when they turned his heart off and put it through bypass, like, this is quite terrifying. And we were praying and we were freaking out. Like, it's full on. It's full on. And the right side of his heart is twice the size of his left. And he had a big hole in between the left and right side. And the doctors didn't, they didn't fix him. He wouldn't be here today, but there he is. Give us a wave. Yeah. Our prayers and our talking to Jesus was quite different in that season. It was pretty desperate. I don't care what anyone think of me. I'll be on any altar. I'll let anyone pray for me. I'll cry in front of anyone. I didn't care. It was life or death. And we experienced new levels of peace, new levels of freedom, new levels of connection. But God doesn't just want to meet you in those big, tough stories. He wants to meet you in every single moment of your day. He wants to meet you around the table. He wants to meet you when you're in the queue for coffee after the gathering. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to Jesus and to each other. I'm going to close in a second, but what does this mean for us today? Like, really practically, it might mean some of you need to get a bigger table. It might mean you need to make some adjustments to how you're living. Create some space, create some margin to have someone else in your life. It might mean you need to be more regular in church. Shout out to all you guys for coming to church today. This is not obviously you. I did say it in the last one that if you're watching online, and you might be watching this later online, this is not even a dig at you, because you may be sick. But you may be watching online because you've just got in the habit of watching online. This room is full of people who want to do life with you, who want to be in community with you. Matt, could you tilt the camera and see if you can get it? No, you can't. Give us some shots. Anyway, we'll figure it out. There's more than a couple hundred people in here. Take my word for it. Come back to community. Maybe you need to schedule some more time in prayer. Maybe you just need to open up a call to Jesus. That's just always there. He's always there. It's often us that don't reach out to him. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to get the team to join us. I hope it's okay today. I wanted to challenge all of us again. Devote yourselves to Jesus. Devote yourself to the teaching of his word, to fellowship with each other, to hospitality and to prayer. And then we'll see the kinds of things, signs, wonders, miracles. We'll be in awe. I'm already in awe of what God's doing. He's amazing. And you might be here today going, oh, look, I'm just not feeling it. Well, just, it's okay. Come back. Come back to your first love. Do the things you did at first. I'm going to pray for all of us. And then I'm going to open up this sacred space for anyone. I expect there to be quite a lot of people, actually. There's a lot in the previous gathering. It has been a long time since you've been on an altar. Even just getting out of your seats to come down and say, all right, here I am. You can have it all. And we won't have the prayer team down here praying for you. This is a moment of personal devotion. Can I pray for you? Lord, man, you're good. Man, you're so good. You're so kind. I thank you that you love us wherever we are. Whatever mistakes we've made this week, you love us the same. You have that love from a father that never gives up. Jesus, we devote our lives to you today. We reaffirm that commitment that we made to you so long ago or so recently. We love you, Lord. We're devoted to you. We care about what you care about. Would you soften our hearts today? Would you open our eyes? Would you expand our horizons? We trust you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.